You don't have to get depressed because of the things that you're going through tonight. Your head can be lifted up as you get your eyes focused on God. And this is what David is teaching us here tonight in the psalm. To get our eyes focused on God. He is my safety. He is my honor. He is my joy and my deliverance.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has spent 50 years learning to trust the Lord in life's hardships. He's experienced God's mighty help in healing from a troubled childhood, restoring a broken marriage, and overcoming PTSD. For a free DVD of Raul's inspiring story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Thanks so much for joining us today as Raul continues his series exploring how to live a life of genuine trust and deep communion with the Lord. Whether you're new in your relationship with God or you've walked with Him for many years, you'll be encouraged by King David's powerful example of unwavering faith. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio to think about the hope that David placed in the Lord, even in a difficult part of life. Now with part two of the lesson, Trusting in God, here's Raul Reese.
Let's begin by reading Psalm 3, then I'll give you the scriptural background to this psalm. He says, the psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and the one who lifts up my head, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and I slept. I woke up, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon your people, Selah. You notice that the psalmist here, David, begins immediately with the name of God, Lord Jehovah. And his cry or complaint to God is that how they, who are they? Have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who are saying of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. And these people that are coming against him in verse 1 are bitter people against the life of David. And we know because of the background to the psalm that it was his son and Shimei, and others that were against David that had gathered themselves with his son Absalom. Turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. I'll show you the background to this. 2 Samuel chapter 15. For those of you that are new to Christianity, let me just kind of go back a little bit further than this, just to give you a picture why David is not only crying out to God, but David, like I would feel not only threatened, but I would feel not confident, because if I knew that I had blown it against God and Satan was on one side beating me and trying to condemn me, I would probably feel bummed out too, like David must have felt at this particular time. In chapter 11 and 12 of 2 Samuel, this is where David had come back into his kingdom, and he was in the battlefield, and nobody told him to get out of the battlefield, so he decided to take some R&R, and he came home, and when he came home, he was relaxed, and what happened, because he had nothing to do, there was a woman by the name of Bathsheba that was the wife of Uriah that was living just down the street, and you could actually see her house from the king's quarters or his room. We don't know how it happened, but we have the story here that David went outside his balcony and he looked outside and he looked down, and here was this beautiful woman bathing on top of a roof. And he not only looked, but he coveted and he lusted and he called for her and he brought her into himself and he had sex with her. And when he was through with her, he sent her back home. And David, in sending her back home, thought that everything was going to be okay. And so as he sends her back, a couple of weeks later, one of David's soldiers or guards outside of the house of David comes in and knocks on the door and hands him a piece of paper. It was a note sealed. And as he opens this note, he begins to read, as it is the handwriting of Bathsheba, and says, "David, I want you to know that I am pregnant." And when David read that note, immediately I could just imagine that right below his stomach, it began to actually hurt. Because in the Old Testament, according to the law of God, anyone that would commit the sin of adultery, both parties would have to be stoned to death. Think about that. So David had a lot to think about. He was the king. He's the one that set up the law. He's the one that condemned and freed people. And here King David, now the leader of Israel, has committed a great sin before God and before his family. And so David decided, as he stayed up most of the night thinking about it, and believe me, whenever you fail, whenever you fall, Satan will be there, not only to condemn you, but to give you ideas on how to hide your sin. Because this is exactly what happened. As David next morning woke up and all night long probably could not sleep but thinking about his sin. He got dressed and he set up and he walked around his palace and he said, "Man, what am I going to do?" As he was pacing back and forth, he was thinking, and all of a sudden Satan injected a thought into his mind and said, "David, I know what you can do. Uriah is the husband of Bathsheba and they're not Hebrews. What you can do is, even though he's in your army and he's fighting for you and he's in the front lines, why don't you go ahead and bring him and give him some R&R?" And then David actually thought this, "Well, if I give him R&R, then for sure I'll do a party for him. I'll get him drunk and then I'll send him home and then he'll sleep with his wife that night. And then I'll say, 'Hey, congratulations, you're going to have a baby, Uriah.'" See how easy that is? I mean, it sounds good, and it probably would work. If you're not a believer. If you're a believer, believe me, you can't get away with anything. Because David, even though he thought about that, and he wrote this professional letter, and he sealed it with his seal, and he gave it to one of his soldiers, and he took it to Joab, his not only cousin, but the leader, the general of the army. And Joab opened the letter and actually requested that Uriah would be sent out of the battle and sent home to be with his wife. He came home, and David that evening prepared a great feast for Uriah, gave him a great welcome home party. And as he was there eating and drinking with David and everybody was having fun, I wonder what David was thinking in back of his mind. And as Uriah began to get a little tipsy, David said, "This is the time. You know, party's over. Night's long." So as he opens the door and he starts walking out and he's moving out, Uriah turns to the left and sees his soldiers, those troops that came with him, and they don't get to go home, but they're sleeping outside. And because he was a man of integrity, he said, "Why should I go home to my wife while my troops are outside and they don't get to go home to their wives? I will sleep with them outside." David, what are you going to do now? Because next morning, when David woke up, I guarantee you he was happy. Thought, "Man, everything's going to be cool now. Nothing's going to happen. I've taken care of the whole thing." And all of a sudden, he gets word that Uriah is sleeping outside with the troops. David becomes upset. Oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do again? And again, Satan comes and injects, hey, throw another party for him tonight. Get him a little tipsy. And so he throws another party, but this time David says, I want to make sure that you get home, so I'm going to accompany you. And as he begins halfway to accompany him, he says, now there is your house, just go on your way. David turns around, goes back home. Uriah passes out, doesn't make it home. Next morning, David wakes up thinking, man, now for sure everything's secure. And he hears about how Uriah passed out. Didn't get to go home to his wife. David becomes really involved this time and really upset. Says, now what am I going to do? All of a sudden, the idea comes to his mind. Now he's, first of all, committed murder. Excuse me, he's committed adultery. And so what happens? And Satan says, I tell you what, how you can solve your problem. David, if you are king, you can sit down and you can write a letter to Joab, your actual cousin. Tell him in this letter, Joab, I want you to take Uriah and I want you to put him in the hottest of the battle and then have the troops withdraw and have him killed. Did you know that's exactly what happened? Uriah died in the battlefield. Joab wrote a letter back and said, mission accomplished, David. David was now happy. Now nobody will know. What did David do? Immediately. David called for Bathsheba and had her move into the palace to be his wife. You see, now he can cover it up. Until the baby came. And what happened? The baby became very ill to the point of death and eventually even dying. God took his firstborn. He died. David rose up, went into his wife after the baby had died, and she became pregnant again. That's when Solomon comes in. But what's incredible about that is that after a whole year's time of David keeping the thing secret in his heart, God eventually had to use the prophet Nathan. Nathan was sent by God to David as David was sitting on his throne. And he came and bowed before the king and said, O king, I need your wisdom and I need to ask you what you would do in a situation like this. And he said, speak. What is it, Nathan? He says, well, you see, there were two men. One was rich, one was poor. And the poor man had one heel little lamb that he loved like his own little pet. And he loved him tremendously. And the rich man decided to have a party, but he didn't want to kill any one of his lambs. So when he found out that this poor neighbor of his next door had a beautiful ewe lamb, he went over, took it by force, killed it, barbecued it, and gave it to his visitors. He says, O king, what would you do to such a man? David was furious. He says, that man deserves to die. Nathan said, you are that man. You have taken a man's wife. You have killed a woman's husband. Imagine this. David immediately dropped to his knees. And the Bible says that David has a heart after God's own heart. And he repented. But listen, even though God forgave him for his sin, this is why he writes Psalm 3. Even though God forgave him for his sin, David reaped nothing but bad consequences in his life. Not only was his first son dead, but as you read the stories, as you're going through 2 Samuel and you come to chapter 13, his own son, Ammon, and he actually played the sick man and his friend told him, hey, his brother actually became so possessed by his beautiful half-sister that he wanted to go to bed with her. So he talked to his best friend. His best friend said, I'll tell you how you do it, Ammon. You play sick and tomorrow I'll tell your dad that you're sick, and what he'll do is he'll send your sister Tamar, and she'll come, and when she comes, she'll take care of you, send everybody away, and then you can lay with her. And actually what happened is he ended up raping her. Absalom never forgot that. He looked for a way to get rid of his own brother. So what happened is that he actually set up a big party way out in the fields. and invited all of the young men from the king's court as they came to this party, and he invited his brother to come. But it was a trap. It was a setup. Because what happened is that Absalom at this little party took and rose up against his brother David's son and killed him and destroyed him out of bitterness. And then later on, as David found out, Absalom became literally not only embittered in himself against his dad, but Absalom actually fled for 3 years. He left David's kingdom because he had to get away. And then when he brought him back to the kingdom, then this is when the problems really began, because look what it says in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel. He says, after this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Even though David now had forgiven him, Absalom was never the same. This is his son. And let me say that here, Absalom is actually beginning here to exalt himself and actually putting himself in his own position to promote himself. He's not appointed by the king, but he's appointing himself now at the court of the king as he's coming. And watch verse 2. And now Absalom would rise up early and stand beside the way to the gate. He would get up before anybody would get up, and he would go down. It would be like somebody coming down here early in the morning before service to make sure you get the first people that get here. And they would stand out and say, oh, it's so bad that the elders and the ushers and the pastors are not here, but I'm here to greet you. How do you do? And actually, what Absalom was doing, he was stealing the heart of the people. You see? He was actually coming and buttering up the people. In the back of his mind, he was wanting to rob the kingdom away from his father David. This is where now Psalm 3 is being written by David. As David now flees to the desert, he stops somewhere along the desert. He begins to write Psalm 3 as he feels as his son. And all these men are coming against David here. And now you see the heart of David as he begins to cry. Go back to Psalm 3. Look what he says. Here he is, the cry of David. Lord, how are they that have increased who trouble me? Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. God's not going to help him. Look what David did. God's going to destroy David. And then look at David's faith in verse 3 and 4. I love this. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. I love that. Lord, you are my protector. Lord, you're the one that is protecting me. You're my safety. You're my honor. You are my joy and my deliverance. That's what David says in verse 3. Lord, you are my shield. You are my glory, the one who lifts up my head. You don't have to get depressed because of the things that you're going through tonight. Your head can be lifted up as you get your eyes focused on God. And this is what David is teaching us here tonight in the psalm. To get our eyes focused on God. He is my safety. He is my honor. He is my joy and my deliverance. For my deliverance comes from the Lord. And then watch this. This is so neat. Verse 4. And David says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, which is Zion. There in Jerusalem. Notice God says, David says, I prayed to God and he hears me. Sin separates us from God. But David had actually repented of his sin. God says, God is listening to me. He's not deaf that he cannot hear. But he has listened to my prayer. He is my shield, and my head is not hanging down in depression or bummed out, but my eyes are on the Lord. And then he says again, notice again in verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. And he pauses, and he begins to meditate in his God. And then in verse 5, notice in 6, now we see David's peace. As he sees in verse 4, David looks upon his communion with his God. He communicates with him. And David finds all sufficiency in God himself, not in man, not in his army, but in the Lord Jehovah God. And then verse 5 and 6, we see the peace of David now as he puts his trust and confidence in God. Verse 5, notice his confidence in God. He says, now David says, I can go to sleep and lay down and sleep like a baby. How many times, because we worry so much, we can't sleep? When God says, why don't you just leave it up to me? I'll take care of it. Go to sleep. And then check this out. And then I woke up in the morning. How? I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Oh, write that down. Who sustained me? The Lord sustains me. That is a continual action. He's talking about the word sustain here in Hebrew. It means that he not only continues to sustain me over and over and over and over, but he will do that till the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes again. He never, ever is going to stop sustaining you or me. That's what David is teaching here. I went to sleep, I got up the next morning, and the Lord continues to sustain me, not only through the night, but through the day. And then verse 6, look what he says. Now the boldness of his God. He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. The whole army of Absalom coming against David as he had to hide from him. But listen, number one, no fear against his enemy. Two, he's trusting in his God. And three, deliverance is on its way. God is going to take care of the problem. Hey, you don't have to commit suicide. You don't have to lose heart. God is going to take you through the fire, and you won't be stenched by the fire. He will take you through the fire, and nothing will happen to you because he loves you. That's why David could say this.
Well, today's message has reminded us that no matter what trials or uncertainty we might be facing, we can follow David's example and look to the Lord to see us through. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Raul's teaching today is part of a series on how to live a life of genuine trust and communion with the Lord. You can get the entire series as podcasts through Spotify or iTunes. Or to get a copy of the message you've heard today, just call us at 800-634-9165 and include a gift of $5 or more when you ask for Raul's teaching titled Trusting in God. And don't forget, your contributions help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves Your Radio is made possible because of your generosity, and every contribution is tax deductible. We'd also like to tell you about a resource with more biblical support. Simply titled Trust, this four-part audio series from Raul is available on either CD or an MP3 flash drive. Each lesson will take you back to the foundations of Scripture to explore God's great love and the provision He's made to give you abundant life in Him. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances of your life, then contact us to purchase Raul's new Trust series, available now on CD or a USB drive. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this four-message study for a gift of $18.95 or more. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. To order by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to enjoy our many free resources. To keep the Bible at your fingertips, take a moment and download our free app to your iPhone or Android. You'll have instant access to a personal devotion plan, digital Bible studies, and much more. For a Q&A program with timely biblical guidance for godly living, join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Next time on Somebody Loves Your Radio, we'll continue with more in this series. As you think about the widely varying responses of those who encounter Jesus, you'll get a challenge to follow him with greater faith and trust. Here's Raul now to wrap up today's program.
And check this out, David's prayer now. Verse 7 and 8, he prays. Number one, arise, O Lord. He becomes pretty assured of himself. But this is his prayer now. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my Elohim. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbones. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Sometimes I pray that prayer. David prayed it, so I can pray it. But I mean, here he's illustrating. Lord, you're the one that has done that. Lord, you gave them black eyes. You broke their teeth. And then I love this, verse 8. Watch what he says. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessings are upon your people. Selah. I love that.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.